Some days during this lockdown, you want it to be like miserable and cold and damp when you got a lot to watch and you got a lot to do. But today was one of those days, I guess because I've gotten my golf fix the last few days and because I've like scratched that itch every which way, that for me, waking up seeing 48, 50 degrees and misery didn't exactly put me in the best of spirits. But as you build throughout the night, you get a little work done on your puzzle. I lose another game to our buddy Eagle Eye Picks in MLB The Show. And all of a sudden, your mood becomes brightened as you're about to get on the air. And I have a feeling tomorrow, we're going to spend a whole lot of time running through a schedule that may not be played in the NFL, a schedule that might be played three quarters of the way, or God willing, a schedule that will be played every which way, with the league announcing Thursday night in a primetime viewing that I guarantee you will be rated higher than it's ever been before. You know, we talked about that with the draft and what kind of ratings you were going to get out of the NFL draft. Turned out to be the case. The schedule, even if it's for games that you can't attend in person, even if it's for games that, let's just say, are not going to be played. Already you're hearing the reports and the rumors that the first four games of the year could be between non-conference opponents, meaning the Giants this year are taking on the entire AFC North, that their first four games of the year in some order would be Cleveland, Pittsburgh, Baltimore, Cincinnati. And for the Jets, taking on the NFC West, which can get wacky depending on what kind of trips you may have, you could be looking at the Jets playing Seattle, San Fran, LA, and the Arizona Cardinals. Because I guess the thought process of the league would be these games matter the least when it comes to what we're looking at here. And if we have to shrink our season and we can only play, let's say, 12 games, and we can't start our season on time as scheduled, and we don't want to extend, let's say, until the end of February in 2021, that you can wipe out those four games. Boom, start your season week five, and it's really your week one. It's all teams within the AFC. It's all teams within the NFC, and you go about your business that way. That is one of the rumors that you've heard about. Now, is that going to be accurate? Is that going to be the case? I guess we'll find out later today when the schedule comes out. And I'm going to be one of these guys. See, this is not the draft for me. So when I'm shanking balls on the golf course later on today, because that's really all I can do. I mean, listen, it's go for a run, it's golf, and it's make sure you're in lockdown and social distance, the whole deal. I will check Twitter and see what's going on with the schedule. See, it's not like the draft where me being on Twitter is like a sin. Because any pick and any drama and any like moment of suspense is thrown completely out the window. Like, think about how great that Tua moment was for me a couple weeks ago. I mean, that's the happiest I've been in about, I don't know, 10 to 12 weeks. Easily. Unless I birdie a hole tomorrow, then maybe we'll put it on the same level. Maybe. Just maybe. But think about my excitement level with that Tua pick. That is not the same if I find out via on Twitter. I'm sorry, it's not. You need the ambiance. You need Goodell. You need the whole deal. The schedule, listen, Jets are playing the Dolphins week 5, week 10, week 16. Don't make much of a difference. Now, I am a schedule fan. Not going to lie to you on that. Not only the idea of going through the two locals, not only the idea of going through my beloved team in the Miami Dolphins, but you know what really hurts me? And this is the harsh reality of the world we live in. Normally with the schedule, the first thing I'm dreaming about, the first thing I'm thinking about is what trip I could potentially plan. Now, with my schedule being the way that it is, normally I would try to find like a Monday night primetime game or maybe a Thursday night primetime game because, listen, Sundays for me, especially now, are out of commission. Between the morning line that I do here at WFAN, Place Your Bets, which was a ton of fun to do over at SNY. And listen, I'm responsible. I need to be there. I tell people all the time, I can't take a Sunday off during a football season. What are you, crazy? No way. So now that I have off days on Monday or Thursday, I would have been lining up. All right, maybe I'm going here, maybe I'm going there. But in this world that we live in, any sort of travel, number one, any sort of travel involving a sporting event seems like such a foreign concept that basically my hope is, all right, they're going to be 16 games and I'm going to be able to watch them, enjoy, and do what we do each and every football weekend. But that'll be determined in the weeks and the months to come. But at least on Thursday, if the schedule is something that wets your whistle, something that gets you going, you'll have the NFL trying to lay out what their 2020 plan may be. Now, as we have done for the last 6 or 7 weeks, it's been the idea of feeling nostalgic, right? It's been this notion of taking a trip down memory lane, seeing where it takes us, you guys getting involved, and I have to commend every single one of you guys, gals, you name it. The phone calls we have gotten during this stretch, and maybe it's because you guys are a little stir crazy like me. Maybe it's the idea of needing that diversion, needing that escape, and this is just something that you're used to. You guys have been so damn good. And I've told you guys this countless times, but I was thinking about it earlier today. I'm like, even with nothing going on from a sports standpoint, the passion, the energy, the way we've been able to connect, it's helped me in more ways than one. So I'll probably shout you guys out 10 zillion more times before this is all said and done. But I just wanted to give you guys a little love and a little props before we dive into our exercise. But now that I got those pleasantries out of the way, what do I have in mind for this morning show? Well, what I have in mind for this morning's show is a topic that was inspired to me by everything that the Madison Square Garden Network was doing just a week ago. The Garden a week ago decided they were not going to highlight the 94 season. They were not going to highlight the LJ four-point play. I'm sure they have. But they were going to spend some time paying tribute to Linsanity. And for some reason, that has been brought up a few times on our show too. This 3 or 4 week run that started, I want to say, right around the Super Bowl is when Jeremy Lin and the phenomenon of Jeremy Lin back in the 2011-2012 season became the sensation around the NBA, became the sensation around New York City. But this little-known point guard out of Harvard, a D-leaguer, getting his chance, getting his opportunity, injuries to Carmelo Anthony, injuries to Amari Stoudemire, is able to take not only New York City, he is able to take basketball by storm for about a month. And there are so many games I think of during the Linsanity run. I happened to be at one of them, and it was kind of coincidence in many ways. It was basically right when I started at WFAN, and I was like, wow, I've never seen Kobe Bryant in person. Yeah, Laker Knick tickets off the charts, but that was when I could actually get a credential to go to MSG. So I ended up getting a credential. I go to watch the late, great Kobe Bryant do his thing, and he was terrific, but the best player on the floor on that particular night was none other than Jeremy Lin. And Jeremy Lin had a big game the day of the Super Bowl. Jeremy Lin may have had his most iconic moment maybe in that game against the Toronto Raptors where Mike Breen loses his mind. He hits the game-winning shot. You had the folks in Toronto rooting on Jeremy Lin like he was one of their own. It was insane. Everybody was all aboard the Linsanity phenomenon. And then he gets hurt. He doesn't come back for the playoffs. And then the Knicks have this decision to make in the offseason. Do they keep him? Did they let him go? They offer him a contract as a restricted free agent. The Houston Rockets go above and beyond and they put the poison pill in the contract, making it almost impossible in a way to match. And I know for many Knicks fans, they might wonder, well, what would have happened if Jeremy Lin would have been retained? Well, odds are it would have been the same result that Jeremy Lin had in every stop in his basketball career, where he played just about everywhere. He had some glimpses, had a few moments, but for the most part was not up to par when it comes to being a starting point guard in the league. At best, kind of profiled as a guard coming off the bench. Some would have liked to have seen that storybook Cinderella story continuing in the following year. And at least going into 2012-2013, nobody around the New York Knicks was really regretting the idea of letting Jeremy Lin go when they went on and won 54 games. Now, what happened with the rest of the roster in the years to come, where the Knicks are still waiting on trying to get to the postseason? That is a much different conversation. But in many ways, that run for Jeremy Lin, 3 or 4 weeks, couple of nationally televised games, there were a lot of people, and I know I was included in this, who thought maybe the Knicks had discovered something. That maybe the Knicks had found some sort of lightning in a bottle that was actually going to stick. Didn't end up happening. Jeremy Lin ends up walking, and it ends up being this sort of chapter when it comes to being a one-hit wonder. And no, we're not talking about some of your favorite one-hit wonder bands. No, we're talking about one-hit wonders when it comes to sports. And when it comes to your particular teams and locally, nationally, all combined into one. Jeremy Lin is going to be a very popular choice when it comes to your most memorable one-hit wonder, when it comes to a player. I'm not talking a team right now, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. I'm talking a player. And I think from an attention standpoint, headline standpoint, the improbable standpoint of Jeremy Lin too. That's what made it even more crazy. We're going to get into some other one-hit wonders in sports. Some of them, though, follow a similar path. Just unknown. Lin is a guy who's coming out of the D League. Lin is a guy coming out of the Ivy League and Harvard. Was not in any way supposed to be able to come and be this larger-than-life figure in the NBA for a month. He wasn't supposed to be the guy out-dueling Kobe Bryant in a Knick-Laker game at Madison Square Garden. He wasn't supposed to be a guy hitting game-winning shots, basically telling Mike D'Antoni, ISO me, let me do what I need to do. And it was the only three, believe it or not, that Jeremy Lin hit from the top of the key that entire season. The only three he hit from the top of the key. I heard him say this the other day. I think it was in an interview with Mike Breen. That game against the Raptors. And our buddy Glenn in Jersey City was talking about the Sunday Dallas Mavericks 1 o'clock game, where those good vibes seem to continue. Some Knicks fans will forever bash the organization for letting them go. Some Knicks fans are going to kind of live in the moment that you had for 3 or 4 weeks. They ultimately made the right call. They haven't made many of them over the last, I don't know, 20 plus years. Letting go of Jeremy Lin did not end up being a poor decision. But what Jeremy Lin is going to do for us here over the next couple hours is he's going to get the ball rolling. Now, I have many more that I'm going to throw your way. Some ended up having decent careers, but I'm talking that stretch they may have had. Maybe it was 2 weeks. Maybe it was a month. Maybe it was 2 months. Maybe it was a half a season. But who fits the description for you when you think of one-hit wonders? And it could be a year. It can absolutely be a year. That, to me, is my max now in looking into these one-hit wonders. Locally, nationally, you name it. You can give me 1 year. That's fine. Beyond that, no, not fair. Not fair. I'm starting off with Jeremy Lin. I have a baseball one when we come back that I think is obvious. There are actually two with the Yankees that stand out, and they're from two different generations. I want you guys weighing in on this. When you think one-hit wonders in sports, players who fit the description of a one-hit wonder, who's leading your list?